You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any brights yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flare. I'm baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Bubba's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, ooh. I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like them bitter. And I don't.
Good morning, fishing fans. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 98.1 FM and 770 AM in Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live from anywhere at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It is producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my special guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson of fish-florida.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Debbie. Thank you for having me. It's always a great time to be in here at the studio.
It's always great having you in the studio. Yeah, you getting all rested up after ICAST?
Yep, got a little few naps in there over the weekend a little bit, and at least I wasn't having to be an exhibitioner there and spend hours and hours and hours there, but we did spend a lot of time there. It was great time. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to get into all the ICAST conversations. We're also going to be talking about a few summer redfish tactics, and we're going to share a few tips to boost your chances of success while fishing during the warmest time of the year here in Florida, the dog days of summer, which is right now.
Everybody likes to catch redfish.
Everybody likes to catch redfish, yes. So we'll get into that, too, here this morning. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I think I heard that they had, at ICAST, it was more than, 12,000 exhibitors, buyers, media people at the convention center. So 12,000 during the show.
Definitely a lot of people. A lot of people looking, a lot of retailers, wholesalers, and exhibitors, and everybody into boot. And you know, it was a great show. It always is. I always look forward to it every year.
Yeah, yeah. And for those who don't know, ICAST is produced by the American Sport Fishing Association, that's ASA, and they're a national nonprofit trade association that's made up of more than 800 member companies and organizations who share a stake in promoting sport fishing for community and for commerce. So it's definitely the event of the year if you're in the fishing industry, for sure, and lots of new products that were unveiled. So we'll talk about all of that here this morning, or at least most of it. I don't think we're going to cover all of it, but right. Most of it, a good chunk of it anyway.
It's great to be fortunate enough to be able to see the show. I know a lot of people ask me, how can I get in? And unfortunately, it is you have to be in the industry to get into that
Correct. Show.
It is a manufacturer's show, so...
But that's why we're here. We're going to
talk about it
and all the latest products that we saw when we were there this morning. So looking forward to that. And we're coming to you live from Stan and Haney Boulevard in downtown Estero. We'll be live on air this morning until 10 a.m. If you can't stay tuned for the entire show or you want to go back and catch up on previous shows, you can just head on over to the ESPN Real Talk podcast page. And that's at ESPNSWFL.com. The text line is open this morning. Go ahead and shoot us a text, 239-337-3776. Let us know what you've been out there catching over this week, or if you've got any questions for Steve.
If you're out there on the water, give us a call. Let us know how you're doing.
Give us a call. Give us the update. Definitely. All right, let's launch right into the weather and tides here this morning. So for this weekend, as far as the weather goes, pretty standard for this time of year. For today, Saturday, we've got mostly sunny skies, high near 94. Scattered showers and thunderstorms mainly after 2 p.m. We've got an east-southeast wind, and that's right around 10 to 15 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is going to be 50%. So get out early, as usual. And then for tonight, we've got partly cloudy skies, low around 75, east winds around 7 miles an hour, and then a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms mainly before 8 p.m., and the chance of precipitation is right around 30%. And then for tomorrow, heading into Sunday, sunny skies tomorrow, high near 94, heat index values as high as 101, And then we've got scattered showers, chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. with east-southeast winds right around 7 to 10 miles an hour and the chance of precipitation falling right around 50%. And then for tomorrow night, we're partly cloudy skies, low around 77 degrees with east winds around 5 to 7 miles an hour and chance of precipitation sitting right around 30%. So that's the weather for this weekend. And then I'll read off the tides real quick here. And as always, of course, remember the tides I read off are for Estero Bay, Big Carlos. So for today, we've got low tide is going to be right around 7:32 a.m. This morning. So in about a half hour. And that's right around a foot and a half, 1.5. So if you're going to get out there and fish that incoming this morning, you're going to do that right around 8 a.m. till about 1:30, because then we've got high tide at 2:06, and that's just over 3 feet. Your best opportunity, if you can dodge those storms this afternoon, is fishing that outgoing, because it is going to be dumping from about 3 p.m. until about 8:30, 9 o'clock tonight on that outgoing. You've got about 3 feet of moving water. Because like I said, that high tide is right around 2:06. Then you got your low tide at 9:26, and that's 0.1. So you go from 3 feet to just above that mean low tide mark. And then for tomorrow, very similar situation. Low tide is going to be 8:22 in the morning, and that's just shy of a foot and a half, 1.4. And then you're high tide is going to be 2:50 in the afternoon, and that's at 3 feet. So you're either fishing that incoming, which is meh, so-so, right around 8:30 till about 2 or 2:30. And then you're outgoing, another really great opportunity, some really good moving water. You go from 3 feet all the way down to low tide at 9:56 p.m., and that's just above the mean low tide mark at 0.2. So fishing that outgoing 3:30 p.m. until about 9 p.m. is really going to be some great moving water. So get out there, try to fish those outgoing tides if you can dodge the rain, and us know how you do.
Maybe get out there after the storms, and their fish will probably be fired up.
That's just it, Steve. That's one of the things that I always like to tell people. I know in freshwater too, you know, anytime you can get out there and fish after those rains, the rain cools off the water surface temperature a bit, and it really seems to fire up the feeding activity for those fish.
Everybody else has gone in. You've got the whole place to yourself.
Yep. That's it. That is it. So you're going to want to stay tuned this morning, because in addition to my conversation with Steve about iCast, about some redfish tips for summer, we've got Dave Wester coming up at 8. We've got a new edition of Useless Information coming up at 9:15. And we're going to be giving away a $25 gift card to the Twisted Fork in Port Charlotte during the 9 a.m. hour. And then coming up in the next couple of weeks, next Saturday, we've got Captain Jim Fortman and Captain Alex Delinsky in the studio. We're going to do a 10,000 Islands versus Estero Bay show, which will be fun having those two in here. And then the following week, we've got Todd Dutro. He is the new owner of Master Bait and Tackle. He's going to be in the studio talking about his new adventure and experiences with owning Master Bait and Tackle. And then coming up on August 20th, we've got Benny Ortiz. He is going to be here driving all the way over from the other coast to talk slow pitch jigging techniques. And he is one of the best at it. So really looking forward to that show and having him here in the studio too. So
lots
coming up. Also, before I forget, I want to make sure to wish a happy birthday to Crazy Alberto Nee. His birthday was this past Thursday. So happy birthday, Crazy Alberto, and thanks for all you do in the fishing community and for the time that you've spent here in the studio and with the show. And then Captain Greg Stamper also has a birthday coming up on August 10th. So few Real Talk birthdays coming up here.
Saw Alberto at the show and didn't even mention it was his birthday.
Yeah, he's a humble guy. He is a humble guy and honestly one of the best advocates for our sport that there is out there.
That's for sure.
He's always getting new people out on the water and encouraging people. So fantastic guy. So Steve, I know you were working the CCA booth during iCast.
I'm a big CCA person. As everybody probably knows, I work on the committee here in our Southwest Florida chapter, and I volunteer with them at doing different events and things that happen that CCA puts on, and I was fortunate enough to be able to help out a little bit at the CCA booth on Wednesday. So I was hanging around there doing some odd jobs and helping out a little bit. And we drew a very, very good crowd there Wednesday and Thursday. And we had not quite as big a crowd on Friday, but they had a really good turnout. And Wednesday we had tons and tons of people coming in, signing up, registering to win boats and all kinds of things and giveaways that we were doing. And at 4 o'clock, everybody was doing the free drinks. We lined them up big time after that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how people, you know, they definitely gravitate to any of the booths who are providing cocktails.
Yes.
Right around 4 o'clock.
Yep, that draws the crowd.
Happy hour definitely is definitely a big draw. So, and talk about some of the marine artists that were at the CCA booth, because I know you guys had some big names in the booth.
Yeah, we did. And unfortunately, I don't remember the exact names, but they had several great artists there signing prints and doing prints and giving away prints for people. And it was they had a lot of great speakers there. We had Mike Anderson. We had Rick Murphy was there. We
you
had
said Blair Wiggins
was there. There was several good, well-known people that are there that are very, very involved with CCA and help out tremendously in the CCA format and everything that's done all over the state of Florida. So they're big proponents of CCA and have helped them out just tremendously, not only with their voice, but they back it up with their time and money.
Yeah. Well, and I know Dennis Friel was at the booth,
yep.
Moki Burns, a couple of fantastic artists. So we just got a text that came in from Dopey. Did you see that, Rick? He said,
oh, of course,
all right,
yeah.
Let us know how great the food is this morning. That seemed to be a topic yesterday on Cheeman and Shepherd. Yeah, well, Captain Greg dropped off the Wagyu prime rib breakfast sandwich this morning, and I think Rick even got a bonus bacon breakfast sandwich.
I did, yes, and I haven't had a chance to dig in yet, Dopey. It's only 12 minutes into the show, but just getting things settled, it won't take long. Steve?
I had a couple of bites of it, and I'll tell you what, I'm a picky eater, and I loved it.
You know, Captain Greg always kind of teases me when I'm on the Sheeman and Shepherd show, because he'll text in and go, Rick, what kind of cheese do you want with your Wagyu beef sandwich? Swiss, provolone? I'm like, oh. I'm a Swiss guy, Greg, you know, so anyways, but yeah, and then it always does, you know, Craig and Pete, as you know, are quite fascinated with our weekend breakfast theme.
Yeah. And I heard, so last week, Art the Bills fan wasn't able to do breakfast for you guys on the golf show, right?
He said he wasn't, but then he surprised us and said that he had a slight change of plans, and he brought us some biscuits and gravy.
Oh, good. Glad to know no one was starving on the golf show last week.
Isn't that great? And of course, we had on Saturday, we had Salty brought his infamous turds.
Of course.
And Miss Jonelle brought her world-famous pastelitos. So it was all good.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
You've had a good week of food.
I have.
Yeah.
They take good care of you here, Rick.
They do. They do. It's what keeps me.
They keep him well-fed.
Getting up early in the morning.
Makes it worth it.
Oh my goodness. So Steve, let's jump into it. What were some of the things I want you to start that you came across, some of the more innovative products that you saw that really made an impression during ICAST?
Well, one thing I'm kind of big into is saltwater lures, and I'm always looking at the different lure manufacturers and what they're putting out there. Miro Lures, and they're a big company. They're a local company out of the Tampa area, and they have some great designs, and I've always been a big fan of theirs. And they have a new Miro Lure Heavy Duty Mirodyne that they've brought out, and it's a bright reflective luminescent inserts. It has some rattles in it. It's got the 3D eyes, so it's got the bigger round eyes on the outside like a lot of them do. And this is a kind of a twitch bait that runs mid-water, I'd say maybe 2 feet down in the bottom, down off the top. And it's going to retail for about $9.49. And they come in several different weights and sizes. So I was looking at them. They were in the new product showcase area. And it was a really, really good-looking lure. There was a couple of other things. Gulp Bait has got something out now. Gulp Bait is a pure fishing product that they own, and everybody knows Gulp everybody's used gulps, the shrimps, and all the different kink types of products that they put out there. But they've now gotten into the strip baits. And what it is pieces of gulp strips that you would cut and basically use them as tipping on your jigs, like you would tip like with a shrimp or something. They're very durable. They've got some fiber in them so that they stay on the hook very well. And they seem to be very effective. They've had some people out there testing them, and they're just bringing them out now. And it's really great to be able to have something like that in your box where you can just add a little bit onto the onto a jig head or something like that when you're
fishing. Sounds kind of like that product called Fish Bites.
It seems to be very similar to Fish Bites. Fish Bites has had that out for a little while. They have their Fish Bite strips, very similar product.
Yeah.
The only difference is it's got the gulp scent material in it instead of the other one does.
Yeah, I know. I saw did you take a look at that live target? It won the saltwater hard lure category. It was the live target shrimp.
Yeah, the live target shrimp. It was a
holy smokes! Did that thing look realistic? The action on the legs was unbelievable.
And it's actually a hard bait.
Yeah,
it is not a soft bait. It's a hard bait. Very well made. Very realistic. Which all the live targets are. Live target prides themselves on the accuracy and the perfectionist of their lures, and they're not always the cheapest lure. I mean, that lure is going to retail for about $14.99. So you're looking at $15. That's
you don't want to lose it.
You don't want to lose it, right? You hang it up in the trees, you're going
to
go get it.
It starts to get expensive.
Yeah. But you look at them, and you put a shrimp right next to it, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference except for the hook in it. So I mean,
even when you just picked it up, the legs moved, and they had such a realistic motion. I think those legs were they're made out of TPE.
I believe that's what they were. Yeah,
I mean, just unbelievably realistic. But it also has some kind of swing weight system in it.
It has a swing weight system and three interchangeable weights in it that kind of adjust the fall speed in it, how fast it drops. So, you can adjust it to the depth that you're fishing. The legs are kind of buoyant, so it gives it that lifelike fluttering action when you're using it. And they use a stout Mustad hook on it, and it's available in two sizes and about eight colors. And should be available shortly.
Yeah, some of these products won't be available until either later in the fall, right before the holidays, or even into the new year. But I'm sure you'll get all the scoop too, Steve, because you're working at Lear, so you've got all the inside intel.
Yeah, we try to stay up with a lot of the new products and bring them in at Lear's Economy Tackle in North Fort Myers. And so when we see that kind of stuff come in, we kind of give it a shout out and post it up on Facebook and some of the other places so people know that it's available. Because a lot of these lures that we do and these rods and things that we see at ICAST, a lot of them are not necessarily prototypes, but they are things that are just now getting in the engineering and the production line. So they're not always, rarely are they actually available at that time. So it takes a little bit of time for them to actually get on the market.
Yeah. What else? What else did you see that really made an impression on you?
There was a Z-Man product that was very, very interesting. And Z-Man has made a new crab that is out there. And I don't know if you got a chance to see it.
I did see that.
And it won Best in Show
for
soft baits. And it's a first-of-the-kind side-swimming crab. And this is it's called the Z-Man Cracker, or I'm sorry, Z-Man Kicker Crab Z. And it mimics kind of a side-swimming annex of a crab, kind of going side to side. And it's got the buoyant and the 10 times tough Elastitech, that material that Z-Man uses. So Z-Man products are kind of a different material. And if you've ever used them, you'll notice that sometimes the hooks and stuff are a little tougher to get into. Sometimes you need to use the Z-Man jigs and the products that go with them to be able to rig them properly, because not all the worm hooks and the springs and stuff will screw into those products very well. But they are very tough, very durable, and they last a long time. So
they sure do.
Yeah, they're a good product. I use them quite a bit. I've used their swim shads and a lot of their different products there, and it really outlasts a lot of the softer plastics that can be eaten up very easily by some of the, your pinfish and puffers that are always pestering you when you're throwing that stuff.
Yeah, it's that Elastec material. It does. It lasts forever. And it also, the great thing about it is it's biodegradable. So
right.
I like the fact that, you know, I use the their soft plastics all the time when I'm bass fishing, specifically the TRDs. And it's just good to know if those things ever fall off your hook or whatever, that, you know, you're, even if it goes into the environment, it's going to biodegrade.
Right. It's not just a piece of plastic laying
exactly
on the bottom for 100 years.
Yep. Absolutely.
And more fishing manufacturers or products are going that way so that they're biodegradable. They're looking at the environment and making sure that, you know, and everybody loses some of these lures once in a while. You don't want them just laying there and adding to the problem.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Steve, I don't know, did you see those Suna sinkers that are made entirely of sand? That was something that I thought was pretty neat. I mean, I don't know, supposedly it dissolves after 48 to 72 hours in the water. So if you're using them, they're like offshore sinkers, and they're made of sand. So they're non-toxic, biodegradable, renewable, and 100% environmentally friendly. So if they break off or they get lost on a reef, again, they dissolve after 48 to 72 hours. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, and the less lead that we leave in the water, the better, too. I mean, it's just like guns and things like that. When people are duck hunting, they're trying to get away from the lead shot and all that adding into the water. So all of these products are becoming more and more environmentally friendly.
Yep, definitely good to see. All right, we're going to head off to our first break of the morning. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
That's okay. I thought a little wild.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson of fish-florida.com.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's good having you in here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, recovering from a week of nonstop running around and driving and checking out all the latest products from iCast.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, so I know we were talking about the sinkers and some of the more environmentally friendly products that are out there. And the other thing that I thought was really pretty cool was the broken twig landing nets. So these are landing nets that were made from recycled carbon fiber hockey sticks. So they float, they have the full rubber basket, the hooks don't get caught in it, doesn't harm the slime coat on the fish, super strong, they're very lightweight and retail somewhere right around $99. So I thought that was pretty cool. And they also make gaffs from the recycled hockey sticks.
Yeah, it looked like a great, great product.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. So what else did you have on your list there?
Well, you know, a lot of people are carrying, well, I mean, you're required to carry a certain number of life jackets on your boat, obviously, when you're out there. And life jackets are all rated at different levels, okay? And typically, a life jacket, in order to count as a life jacket per person, needs to be what we call a type 2. Now, a lot of us now are going to the smaller vest-type life jackets. And some of these life jackets are rated number 3, and some are rated number 2. There's a very small handful of them that are actually rated 2. And what that means is unless you're wearing that jacket, it does not count as a jacket that is, right, qualifies when, yep, you're running the boat. So if you've got it stored and you don't have a type 2, that jacket, that vest jacket, whether it be a belt or vest, whatever it might be, does not qualify as a countable life jacket unless you were wearing it. So now Mustang has brought out a new one, and they had it at the show. And they're a big leader in life jackets and auto inflating jackets. And they have a type 2 wearable vest that will count as a stored jacket. And I was looking at that, and I was very, very impressed with that product. So
that's really, really cool. We'll have to talk about that, because I know that's definitely something everyone, you know, it's not going to help you if you're out there and you're not wearing it, if it's stowed. Because if you hit your head and you're unconscious and you're not wearing it, then obviously you're not going to be putting it on. So.
And these vest jackets and stuff now are so much more comfortable. They're a lot easier to wear. We wear them in all our tournaments.
Yep.
You know, you have to wear your kill switch now. If you have a boat under, I think it's 26 feet, you have to wear that kill switch either, or have an electronic disconnect system for the engine.
Yep.
And a life jacket is something that we wear all the time in our tournaments, and they're more and more comfortable all the time. So surprising enough, I wear it a lot even when I'm not in tournaments. So something to think about.
Definitely. All right, we're gonna head over to line one, because we've got Captain Rob Modi standing by.
All right.
Hey Rob, good morning.
What's up?
Hey.
We're back in the studio and talking all things ICAST here this morning.
Very cool. I heard, the Miralure. I saw the Miralure. Fantastic. I was like, yeah, that was good.
Great design, I thought.
The show was amazing. It was huge. I mean, just absolutely giant. And I spent 2 days walking around, and every time I went, wherever I went, I found something else that I missed the day before or just the hour before.
Yep.
It was pretty crazy what all was going on. But really impressed with a lot of the new stuff that's out there. I always like that. That's my favorite place to go, you know, over where they do all the little secret things, you know, what's coming out, what's going to be going on. And there were a lot of really interesting new products. So,
yeah, there really were. I thought that Witness Wayne, that was pretty cool too, that Fraybill came out with. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see that, but it has the scale, mm-hmm, built right into the net. So you don't even,
right,
need to take the fish out of the water.
There was another one in there that had a measurement stick as part of the handle.
Yeah.
I think it was that Fraybill.
I was like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that was the Fraybill. It was the one that, it won the best fishing accessory.
Right. Yep. I just, why didn't we think of that? You know, it's like, oh, okay. So for those that don't know what we're talking about, they actually put a measuring stick on the handle itself. So I think it went all the way to 40 inches, if I'm not mistaken. But it was really interesting. I thought, okay, that's useful. I think the coolest thing I saw, which you'll like this, Debbie, was a freshwater product. The frog that Mustad had in there that was made by Live Target.
Yeah, you know what? I did not get a chance to see that frog.
Boy, I have a
video. I heard about it. I didn't get a chance to see it.
I'll send it to you. It was incredible. The body is obviously lifelike, because that's what they're good at.
Right.
The colors were on the money, from everything from just a good old standard garden toad to greens, and every kind of frog you would have ever seen anywhere in the U.S., I would say, was represented. But what made it unique was that it had hinged, it's hard to explain, it had hips on the legs that rotated. So you have the fixed frog, and then you have the legs attached with like hips. When you moved it, the legs would straighten out. When you stop, the legs would close back up, just like a frog does, brings it back to themselves before they push off again, before they move again. So the body is a hard type of rubber, but the legs were, you know, Live Target rubber, that stuff that's hard to bust up. Now, what's cool is, if a fish does bust it off or breaks a foot off or tears a foot off, they're replaceable. You can buy a little bag of legs. They come off of a post. You just pull them off their rubber, and you just stick a new leg on.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
And
the action on that, on the legs, sounds amazing. I mean, it sounds like it would look incredibly realistic.
Yeah, it has to be seen to believe. And then I was thrilled to see Ocean Waves back. I'm old enough to have used Ocean Wave sunglasses before Costa or anybody else came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like the old school, they're made in Florida up in near Jacksonville. And we all had them. I mean, that was the glasses you wore 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And then through family, I talked to the guy there, through family issues and stuff, it just kind of went away. But they never gave up the rights to the formulas and to the, you know, copyrights and all that stuff. And they came back out last year. And I went over, it was funny, a little small booth kind of tucked away on the far side. And the glasses are amazing. I mean, they're made just like they used to. The thing that made them unique is the coloring, the green, the amber, whatever, are internal in the glass. So you cannot scratch it.
And they are glass lenses or polycarbonate?
They're glass.
Yeah, they're glass.
And they're lightweight.
I'm sure,
they're
great
super,
clarity. Crisp and clear.
Lightweight. I was just so tickled to see him again. I mean, I really was. I was like, wow, I can't believe you guys are back. And he says, well, about 1 out of 10 walks in here and remembers us. And he said we were the Costa before Costa was Costa. And I thought to myself, you're exactly right. You were. You were huge in Florida. So anyway, it was very cool to see that. Being as I'm old enough to remember, you know, I was like, oh, those are good glasses. So
yeah. So Rob, we've got Art the Bills fan standing by online too.
Okay.
But what else? Right. What else? Was there one other thing that you saw that really made a big impression on you?
I'm going to buy that little Bixby motor for my kayak.
there you go.
They had a drop-in motor, a drop-in electric motor that drops right into the same slot that the pedals go on the Hobie kayak, or on any pedal kayak. They make different mounts for everyone, but just basically picture a lighter weight bottom to a regular trolling motor, but instead of an external prop, the prop is a jet prop. So it's built up inside and it jets water out through like an enclosed tube sort of thing.
Which means you can go skinny with it.
Yeah. And I'm thinking more like, I don't mind pedaling. It's fine. But that ride home after you've done 3 or 4 miles and you know you got to go back, pop that sucker in, turn it on, and go home with under power, I'm like, ooh, that's pretty cool. And it's small enough to carry in the kayak that it's not, you know, it's not cumbersome. It's not real big. And the battery fits right underneath your seat.
They had a lot of great battery companies there too, with a lot of batteries now designed just for that.
Yeah,
I know. That was amazing how many battery people were there. That was really incredible.
Yeah.
But anyway, and thanks for having me do the show last week. We had a ball. It was really great being back in there and all. It was weird.
No, well, I appreciate you sitting in for me because I had a Fish Florida board meeting late on Friday, so it was Saturday morning before I got, you know, back up to speed with everything, and still even on Saturday, I was still catching up. So
it was fun having Janelle and Salty in there, and you know, Rick chiming in. It was just like the good old days, but you know, it was unrehearsed, let's put it that way, and I enjoyed it. But thanks for having me do that. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for, like I said, thanks for sitting in for me. I appreciate the fact that you were here and the show went on. So I'm going to hop over to line 2, Rob, but thanks for calling in, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right.
Say hi to Jonelle. Okay.
Hey, it was great to see you, Rob.
Bye.
Yep. Bye. That is Captain Rob Modis calling in. We're heading over to line 2 to grab Art the Bills fan. Hey, Art.
Good morning, everybody.
Thanks for your patience.
No problem.
You've been out on the water this past week, getting all these fish pictures coming through the text line from you.
Finally got some peacock bass last week.
Nice job.
So excited.
That is awesome. So what were you using for the peacock bass?
Well, shiners.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ran out, and this is good because I got a question for you. Then I ran out, so I started using a rattle trap.
Yep.
And I got one on a rattle trap, and I've tried other lures, topwater, spook, different ones. Now, anytime I've used a Rapala minnow or rattle trap, I just always seem to get a fish with that. Now, what does that say about me as an angler? Because I really don't have success other than those two, even a worm.
Well, peacock bass don't generally take artificial worms. You know, they want something that's moving. They are triggered to strike when something is fleeing away from them. So, topwaters, the motion and action of topwaters, they love. Anything that's minnow imitating. I love the gold Rapala F7 minnow. That's one of my favorites. It looks like a shiner. The color is kind of like a golden shiner.
Even the largemouth bass, it just seems like other lures I try, and I don't know, it's something about me and just that minnow or rattle trap, and bam, it doesn't take as many casts. I've really tried with a lot of different lures, and I don't know, it's something.
Yeah, anything bait fish or minnow imitating for those peas generally works. And jigs, they'll hit jigs too, and jerk baits.
And what was weird is I got a bullhead. I was hoping it was a flathead. I saw that picture. Now, that was a big, fat bullhead, and of all things, that took a shiner.
Yeah, I mean, they will. They're pretty opportunistic. If it's in front of them, they're going to try to eat it.
Yeah, and two Mayans took the shiners. Now, usually, they don't seem to go after them, but I don't know. Maybe they're hungrier or they're spawning or something's going on. But, yeah. Oh, I have one flotation device tidbit for anybody out there.
What you got?
On my boat, when I would go out. Now, on a skiff, there's the cubbies up front, and usually that's where you stuff all your emergency gear and everything and life vests. Now, after I started thinking about things, I started keeping my life vest and another one right on the leaning post or the bait well and tie a slip knot. So if I'm not wearing it. Now, if I had a kid, they're wearing it. But if I need it, and especially in a skiff, that's a shallow. If you think you're going to flip or take water on, you don't have time to run up to the front, you know, or some of that other gear. I started keeping it right near the tackle box and the beer cooler and everything else. I mean, that'd be the best, is tie it to the beer cooler and there's your, you know, because that's usually right next to you, not at the bow of the boat.
Yeah, the best is to wear it, really. But
absolutely.
Alternatively, keep it close. Yeah. All right, Art. Well, we got to head off to a break, but it was great to hear from you, and thank you so much for sending in those pictures. Way to rock it out there. Love seeing you out there catching all those exotics.
I want to see this frog. What's the name of it again?
You know what? I will look it up, and I will text it to you because I don't remember offhand.
It's made by Live Target.
It's made by Live Target, though. Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Art. Have a good weekend.
See you, Art.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, heading off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
I heard Davy Crockett had a pint in his pocket, good whiskey at the Alamo. Now I bet Pancho Villa had a jug of tequila when he walked the streets of old Mexico.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with Captain Steve Johnson of fish-florida.com. Steve's also the membership director here for our Fort Myers chapter of CCA. So good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Real Talk listeners.
Yeah, so thanks for sharing all the scoop from ICAST and all the products that you were checking out. I know you've got a few more there on your list, and we actually have a couple text messages coming in. Female Ref was asking about the name of the sunglasses that Rob was talking about, and that is the name of those glasses. It's Ocean Waves. So you can check them out at oceanwaves.com. And we have Captain Alex and Jim Fortman standing by on the phone line. So I'm going to grab Captain Alex here. He's on line one. Hey, Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Debbie and Captain Steve. How are you?
Good morning, Alex.
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Happy 29th birthday to the host for the most.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks. Yeah, holding on to that 29.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Exactly. We'll leave it at that. Thank you, Alex. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What's going on with you? You've been out there fishing the past week?
Yeah, I've been out. I went out three times this week. It was a little slower for me. The water's warm in the back. I went out to the reef a couple times, the May Reef right off Fort Myers Beach. One day we got a couple smaller snook out there, some jacks and smaller, snapper. Yesterday I was out there and got actually a really nice snapper. So there are some good ones out there, like offshore size, snapper.
Yep.
And, but we let it all go anyway. And, in the backwater, we got a couple reds on cut bait and a couple snook on pinfish during the week. And yesterday we got those bigger fish on the reef on pinfish, by the way, and cut pinfish.
Gotcha. Yeah, because the water temperature's got to be up, around 85, 86 degrees about now?
Yeah, it's warm. It's warm. Even we were close to the pass in some areas in the back and with good moving water. And I actually saw a nice school of reds, but they just weren't chewing. So we threw everything we had at them and chummed them. And it was just too warm, I think.
Yeah. So. But cut baits were working the best for you, for the reds.
Yeah, when we did get fish during the week, it was earlier in the morning, early on the tide. I was fishing the oyster bars a little earlier than I normally would as far as the tide heights time-wise. But I was getting on cut bait, and about 10 o'clock it just shut off. It just got too warm, so.
Yeah, got it. It's the time of year where you really got to get out there early. Get it done.
You got it.
Alex,
yeah,
were you seeing any
offshore, really no in between in our area.
Yeah.
Alex, were you seeing any permit on those close inshore?
Yes. On the GH.
Yeah.
In that area. Not right on the reef, but in that area.
Cool.
And then I got a couple smaller ones out a little bit further and about 38 foot that they were on. But I didn't have crabs and we weren't fishing for them.
But they're still out there a little bit.
Yeah, they're still out there. And sometimes they hit shrimp on the jig if they're on the bottom.
Yeah.
These fish were generally, they were up top and working, so.
Awesome.
Well, fantastic.
Yep, they're there.
Yeah, I was hearing even some reports of people catching some smaller permit in Estero Bay. Have you seen them in the bay, Alex?
We got a small one last week, a couple pounds, but. I'm still seeing some pompano way in the back, which to me is kind of odd, back towards Rocky Bay.
Yeah,
hard
for this
bottom,
time
but
of
I
year.
I skipped several of those when I was running into my spot. But.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thanks for calling in and thanks for giving us the update. We appreciate it. I'm going to hop over to line two and grab Captain Jim Fortman, and I'm looking forward to having you guys in the studio next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Definitely.
Y'all take care.
All right, Alex. Take care. Thanks for calling.
See you, Captain.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
That is Captain Alex Delinsky with Spot On Charters. We're heading over to line two. We're going to grab Captain Jim Fortman. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning. Well, it's like a prequel to next weekend, I guess, huh?
I know, right? Alex calls in first. You call in right behind him. It is. This is like the sneak preview of next Saturday's show. I love it.
Yeah, now they'll tell you what the difference is. Just like he was saying, the water gets hot in the shallow water, and in my area, you go to the deeper water. That's because it's a little bit cooler in the deeper water. So the fish are just definitely moving around. Tides have been real nice. We've had incoming tides all last week and up through the beginning. I have been off the water since Wednesday. It's kind of nice. I got some shop time. So I'm resupplied on jigs if anybody needs to come down to the Vanderbilt Farmers Market and get jigs.
So you're at the Farmers Market today until, noon?
I'm
one?
Off the water. It's the first Saturday I've been off this entire month.
Good for you.
It's just been...
it's a good thing to be busy.
It is good to be busy, and everything's getting paid off, and I got a truck in the shop now, so if anybody's just keep an eye on your computer chips in your vehicles, because the littlest thing can take down a vehicle, especially a 3500. So, but no, things are good. No, the bite's been really good. There's been still a lot of big snook in the area. The redfish started finally coming around, so that's been a really plus. Goliath groupers are moving around. They, like I tell everybody, you know, they're in short supply, apparently, in my area.
Are the redfish mostly on the outside, yeah. Jim?
That's what I was just going to ask. I was going to ask the same question, Steve. So, Jim, where are you seeing those redfish? You seeing them on the outside, or are you seeing them up closer to the rivers and creeks?
Okay, so they are hanging out around rivers and creek mouths, but they're actually hanging out more to the middle bays and more to the outside, around mud flats and oyster bars. So their main bite on the redfish has been on the incoming tide. So if you get up and you know where your oyster bars are at, get up around them. This week we got falling tides all week, so it's what we call a snook tide. So you want to hang out more to the outside. Along deep drop-offs, because those snook have been hanging out in about 7 to 10 foot of water in my area, which if you look at your charts, you'll know where all the deep drop-offs are, because those fish are just basically staged up and waiting for anything to come off the flats and go right into that deeper water.
Great tip.
Primary bait, just like Alex was saying, we're using cut bait for the larger fish.
Yep.
Mullet has been plentiful. And like I tell everybody, you just kind of want to pull up to a beach area and just kind of wait. And they'll swim by and just be real quick with your cast net. You know, that's the best way to get them. Don't try and chase them down the beach. You know, that's because you're going to wear yourself out. It's just kind of best to wait for about 5-6 minutes and wait for them to come by.
So you don't do much chumming for the bait, Jim?
What's that?
You don't do a lot of chumming for the bait?
No, you don't do that in my area.
Yeah.
Do not chum for bait in my area.
Okay.
Well, see, this is a great...
You will be cleaning out the catfish out of your cast net.
This is the perfect reason why we're going to have you and Alex in here together next week to talk about the differences in the two areas.
You can chum them up on the outside on a high tide. If you get out around some of the grass flats on the outside and you get a nice... Like this week, we're going to have some really nice seas to be able to go out and explore those outside flats, which is also where the trout, bluefish, and Spanish mackerel that have been running around rampant out there, and some very large ladyfish. And when I say large, I mean in the 2-foot range. So there's been
lot
of fun as far as light tackle on the outside lately.
All right. Well, Jim, we're up against a hard break. We gotta go here. But I look forward to having both you and Alex right here in the studio next Saturday morning.
Come on down, see me, guys. And Steve, there's a couple of tournaments coming up in our area. One for the horse farms, if you can look into it, okay?
You got it. I'll do that.
And Jim, folks can find you at backwaterfishingnaples.net, correct?
That's correct.
All right.
Or just come on by the booth on Saturday mornings.
Or just stop by and see him in person. All right, Jim. Thanks so much for calling in and for the great report. We'll catch up with you next Saturday in the studio.
And happy birthday, Debbie.
Oh, thank you.
See you, Jim.
Bye. That is Captain Jim Fortman calling in, and we're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Bet you think I'm sitting at home, no. Bet you think that I'm all alone, no. Bet you think I'm missing you and wishing you would call my phone, hell no. I went wheels up on a runway, and that ticket was a one way. I'm somewhere on a beach, sipping something strong. Got a new girl, she got it going on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.